Okay, question for you all. What do the Montreal Canadiens and Montreal Electricity have in common?
They're both shit.
They're out. So.
difference is we got electricity back and
what a dad joke for a non-dad.
They're going to play golf in 2 days.
Oh my god.
They're going to go to Florida, and I'm sure.
I just got my power back now. Well, not now. Actually, no. Let me rephrase that. I just got my power back today, like at my place.
Do you know today. What song, Sammy, should be the song of the intro of the show?
Which
Take
one?
Power Back by Rage Against Machine. It's aggressive, but still.
If it's not in the episode, maybe when we promote it on Instagram in the stories, I'll use that.
There's always a spot.
Well, listen. Welcome to a new episode of the Curfew Boys. Finally, after a major power outage in the greater Montreal area, Sammy here with Zook, Anthony, and Chris. Hey now, boys.
Hey now.
I hope you're happy that we finally got back to the 21st century after a couple of days off. However,
I mean, I was very, not to brag or anything, but I was very fortunate that I didn't lose anything, surprisingly. Surprisingly, because I lose power at 40 degree weather in my area.
Okay.
Last year, there was a heat wave, and we lost power for 2 days.
Really?
It was 40 degrees, so I was
sure. People were using their AC too much.
So I think after that power outage last summer, I think they really fixed the problem so well that this time around, when there was this ice storm, we were the only street in my neighborhood that had electricity.
So my parents, Stuart and RDP, didn't lose power at all. And I think RDP was the only Montreal suburb where practically the entirety didn't lose power. But they lost power. Like everywhere else on the island of Montreal, like power was out. The only areas were the ones that had like hospitals and...
It was sporadic on the island because the houses in back of my house had power. That whole street had power, so it doesn't make sense.
Same thing. My parents had power, but
Everybody, like, just because you're on the same street doesn't mean you're
on a different grid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it could be on a different grid. Yeah, it depends.
That was in my case in the town of Hudson, just outside of Montreal, in the Vaudreuil area. Oh, fuck, guys. So, what I do as a living, I think from Wednesday till it started till. Give or take, what are we? We're Monday now. We're recording this Monday, April 10th. I think from Wednesday, when did it start? The shows you, I've lost all track of time here. Wednesday, April 5th, up until give or take till Easter Sunday morning, April 9th. Like I think I've got a total amount of like maybe 10 to 12 hours of sleep. So, like, I'm kind of running on fumes here. So, but listen, this is the career path I've chosen, and I've got working for the fire department of Vaudreuil and the small town of Hudson. Like, you could see a bit the different types of, I guess, situations that people are in. Like, in that whole area is full of trees, right? So, it's like, as soon as a tree falls down on a wire, like, forget it.
Yeah, some areas are more exposed.
Exactly. Storms. And then in the town of Hudson, like there's not that much of a sewage system going on. So everybody runs on their sub pumps.
Wow.
So as soon as the power goes out and then you get groundwater that starts filling up their sub pits into the basement. Oh my God. What a disaster. And then you try to explain to people that like, look, no, get yourself a generator. I know some could be expensive, but it's a good investment. Get a generator if you can. Get a pump, extension cords. Try it out with your neighbors. And there's some people like, they're going to do that. They do that. Then you get some, they're like, okay, well, how does the generator work? I'm like, well,
it
runs on gas. You need gasoline, right? And they're like, oh, my God, did you see the gas station lineups? The lineups at the gas stations
in
the area were packed, man. Some took like 2 hours. Some people were in line for 2 hours to get.
Good thing no one had a Tesla.
Well, it's true. Hey,
you're stuck at home forever.
Yeah. Hey, that's a joke for those that those environmentalists, those hardcore environmentalists.
Yeah.
You see them driving their fucking their gas powered cars.
Yeah, man.
And if you think about it too, like the amount of generators that were running, like like the amount of CO2 that was being emitted into the air just so you could save your basement and keep using your house. So I'm just saying there's two sides to every fucking argument, right? But
sure. Hey, what can you do? Something we couldn't control. It is what it is. At least now a lot of people are getting back to normal.
Yeah.
And sucks what people went through.
It sucks.
I drove to my parents' house, and I don't know, to our listeners out there who are not at that age range, that we're not alive in 1998, but I mean, we were part of that whole ice storm in 98.
Yeah.
And St. Leonard looked exactly like ice storm 98. Like it was just trees everywhere. Mm-hmm. Streets were blocked. It was very scary. Look, you know what? We want to bitch and everything, but it was scary. It was just to see all those trees on cars, on temples, blocking roads. It wasn't a scene nice to see. So anyways, as long as everybody's healthy and we're back to somewhat normal 5 days later.
Hey, you know what?
It's getting warm. Listen,
it is, well, thank God
for that.
Well, imagine in February when we had like the minus 40 degree weather at one point. Can you imagine if that happened? If it would have been like, or if this whole power outage would have went on during minus 30 degree weather.
Well, we saw like I think I posted it on my personal stories. My place, it's a little bit of an older place in Montreal. The insulation is not what you have on the newer homes, and we got down I think under 7 degrees. I saw my own breath in the last morning. Yeah. It was free. It was really
holy
cold.
Holy shit!
It was really, really, really cold.
And some people won't agree with me. And what I mean by some people, I mean those living in the province of Quebec. They might not agree with me with this, but I am going to tip my hat off to Hydro-Québec that fucking worked tirelessly for the entire week. They said it was going to be back by Monday. Majority, they kept their word, and these guys were, they said I ran into a couple of trucks there, a couple of Hydro-Québec workers on scenes. And they said like, yeah, we've been going at it for 16 hours straight, like on average. A lot of the crews have been going at it for 16 hours straight. So hats off to the Hydro-Québec workers. Like, they're getting props from me at least. And
you're right. I mean, look, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, we all have our own opinions on it, but it's Mother Nature, right? It caused the whole big thing. And it's
she always wins. Mother Nature always wins.
Mother Nature always wins. So something that we could have controlled. And there's a lot of workers out there like you. Tip my hat off to the firefighters. You know, you were out on the street and on the roads out for many hours for the last couple of days for people that were going through a difficult time. And yes, as much as we're all, a majority of us is mad at Hydro, at the end of the day,
I know. And it's like, I don't mind talking about this a little bit. It's go,
but
Chris.
It's not the poor workers who are catching, like the guys who worked effortlessly. I actually went to go shake their hands and I said, thank you. I know you guys are probably getting shit on constantly, but it's more Hydro, the company, their infrastructure that I think, you know, they can't change it overnight and they can't replace the whole damn system, but maybe a way of reinforcing their lines, doing something. So that the next time that it comes around, they don't have to have squadrons and squadrons, a platoon of guys running out to repair damages.
It's underground wiring. That's the future.
Underground wiring is great, but
they're going to do it all over Montreal. It's very easy to do through the sewer systems. It'll take
welcome
5 years.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Montreal
issues.
Cost money, though. Yeah, I know. I agree
with
that.
A lot of the new areas have that, though.
We'll
a lot
see
of
how new, much this is all
exactly.
Cost now.
New developments in the greater Montreal area. Yes, they go Hudson. The town of Hudson has that, but even they lost power because the pole that distributes, that's the part that I like.
One, yeah.
They if they go out, well, but it's just funny. Just one last thing, and then we'll actually talk about the Montreal Canadiens, I promise. But going on Twitter, going on social media, and seeing those that are like, listen, we all could agree we're not big fans of our premier. Like, we could all agree with that. We don't have to reiterate that. But to see some comments and then to see even a comedians like Sugar Sammy say, West Island, Laval, NDG, all these areas that have, you know, that come from immigrant families and so on and so forth. Like, power's not coming back, but then Saint-Just and Richelieu, they're celebrating with fireworks.
Okay, so my favorite meme, just to close this off because it's funny, but after this whole it was no, but like after the whole COVID bullshit, I try to stay away from all this stupid dramatic stuff on social media, because what's the point of, you know, tiring our fingers for whatever, right? But there was one meme, and I have to, whoever created this meme, I want to like bow down, because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So remember the scene of Home Alone when he's walking alone, when he lost his parents at the end, when he went to church, and he's walking back home, all sad. And then he stopped in front of a house that had all lights, the Christmas decorations, and everybody was partying inside that house. So there was... there was that scene specifically, and he's walking, and he was Laval, West Island, and East End, like he had all like the over his head. He stops in front of that house, and it was Illuminati in Laval. No, Illuminati. Wow, sorry. The Illumi lights. It was fucking hilarious, because it was funny because we all lost power, majority of us in Laval, but fucking Illumi had their lights on still, you know. So, anyways, that I want to repost that meme. Maybe Sam, you can share on the Boys podcast.
Send it to my phone.
Funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I would have laughed, but what people don't realize is that there's certain areas on the island that, like, the ones that have hospitals or major or like community centers, whatever have you, like, those are the areas with top priority need electricity, especially those that have hospitals. So where people are wondering, like, well, why is this area having electricity and the other ones aren't? It's, well, it's like, there's not that many hospitals in the West Island except for Lakeshore, but everywhere else downtown, there's at least like 2-3 of them. And then there's even some in the East End. Like there's a couple in St. Leo. There's one in RDP. So
there's enough.
Exactly. So, but yeah, so you see on Twitter, people like, they don't want us, they don't want to give electricity to the Anglos and all that. It's like, guys, relax. Social media is the worst.
If I can find that video, I'm gonna
send
it.
Send it, and well, the Curfew Boys will actually share it. But anyways, all that to say is, it's been a crazy week, and I know the Curfew Boys we've been a bit absent on the whole social media aspect and posting on YouTube. We kind of apologize. It's not our fault, but yeah, sorry that we haven't been around that much, but we're back now. And look, we're back talking about the Montreal Canadiens. And and it's funny that during this whole time, I haven't seen the games against the Leafs and the Capitals. And I know I've obviously seen highlights, and I know who scored, who put up points, but my God, like, can you actually believe there's two games remaining in the season? Like,
it's insane.
I don't know.
It feels like it just started.
I don't know if you guys want to share your thoughts on this, but remember last year, our last episode, we said, wow, what a long season this was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to compare to see the same, if we had the same feeling this year. I think this year
it
was
long?
More... A bit of both, because it was entertaining this year. There was a lot of good things that happened. A lot of good came out of this season, right? So we can't, like, last season was just fucking total shit show. This season, we saw a lot of nice stuff. Yeah. But I still found it long. Maybe because we had a long winter. I don't know, but it was
I didn't find season. It long, actually. It's strange how, like, different perceptions by different people. To me, it didn't feel long one bit. I'm actually surprised it's already April to start with. And the fact that there's just two games left. Dude. Does not feel like it, but it's probably because, as Anthony said, we've seen some progression. Like, even if they're still in the bottom of the, you know, the tier of the fucking conference or whatever, it doesn't seem as if it's hopeless like it did last season. So maybe that's why it's less long for me.
Okay, interesting.
Look, the whole, I'd say it flew by for the first half, and then once we ended up losing the last of the interesting guys, we had so many guys that were able to watch. Slavkovsky still played 39 games. Got to realize that. Every single one of the games, there was something to watch. There was something to focus on. You had Caulfield, who was putting up, he was on pace for a high 40s, maybe even a 50-goal season. Very entertaining. You had Arber Jacki, who was beating the shit out of guys and really making a name for himself. You had Caden Gooley, who was also performing very well, who I think was playing top pairing minutes. In the first half of the season, we had the privilege of seeing all those things, even though they were losing. But the second half of the season, even by the time Doc Goddard injured and he was out, I think it just became, I don't want to say painful to watch, but
not necessarily painful, though.
Factor.
Yes and no, because the second half of the season, we got to see players that would have never made the NHL or seen any spotlights this season shine. You know, like Pinard and who else?
Belzil.
Guys that
Masterton.
Ilonen. Yes, Ilonen too.
Ilonen, yeah.
No, and I'm sorry to say this out loud to people that might cringe by after saying this, but Montabeau showing that he might be our fucking top goalie, maybe. Like, no, but it's he laughed, but it's a possibility.
And I totally agree. And I think for the first time since Carey Price, we have a goalie issue now, in a sense. And when I say by issue, I don't mean we have no goalie. You're right, Anthony. I think Montembeau could be that guy. But of all the pieces of the puzzle that we're gonna get there. Of all the pieces of the puzzle that we finally added, I think the goaltending position still has a question mark. Yeah, and this is and we're not used to this because we were blessed with Carey Price in net. So
generational player, right?
He is. He was in the goalie position.
I mean,
but I don't think this season was as long as last year, because last year was just dreadful. It was painful. But speaking of painful, it was just this. I think this season was more frustrating than anything because of injuries.
Well, injuries, even last year.
Injuries. Yeah, but you're right. Even last year, it's like it's two seasons in a row, but just like it's injury after injury after injury after injury. Like Chris said, it's just and not only that, it's from the guys that are part that are the building blocks of this team.
Yeah.
So the only not to vent about. Okay. So look, we all have different. There's different. There's different fans in this fan base, right? We have the delusional ones. You have the ones who are the true fans, and you have the ones in the middle, right? You know, all the psychopaths of being a Habs fan, you know, the ups and downs of being a Habs
fan. The spectrum.
This season, to me as a Habs fan, all positive. And why I say that is because we know we're going into a rebuild. We're going into the rebuild. I see fans, you know, today I was smoking a cigar outside and one of my neighbors came out and was like, Habs, eh? Another guy. It wasn't him. I don't want to talk about
it.
But the Habs, eh? What a shitty team. I'm like, I looked at him. I'm like, first of all, you probably watched like 5 games in your entire life.
Oh, it's the Leaf fan, right? Who was yelling.
Someone in that area.
Oh,
was.
My God.
I looked at him like, so he looks at me and he's like, oh, the Habs. Huh? I'm like, to me, it was the best season. What do you mean? I'm like, a lot of good came out of this. And I don't think he understood, right? Because
no, he clearly didn't.
So, again, a true Habs fan, people like us that watch and understand and want to see a bright future, this was actually a great season because
100%.
We're a lot of rebuilders like Arizona. You know, imagine being a fan of Arizona, right? Dude. They fucking shit for years and years and years. We're in a rebuild situation, and there's strong signs.
Dude.
Where, sorry, Sam, I'm going to throw this at you, but it's not going to be a 9-year rebuild because after what we
I never said it was a 9-year rebuild. I said in 9 years we could be contending or winning the cup.
But I don't see it in 9 years because what we saw this year, there was a lot of good potential, right? Like,
man,
second half of the season, what we were talking about before, Chris, you know, it wasn't that dreadful because we saw players that shined for two things. One, they could be our bright future, or two, good assets to get rid of for better assets in the future, good trade assets. So, again, it could be anything. All I'm saying is that a lot of good came out of this season. A lot.
All good.
So I don't think this was a bad season. And as a true Habs fan who is in that rebuild mindset, this was you couldn't get anything better than this, my opinion.
And how many times do you read from people that are not even Habs fans or analysts that usually don't like the Habs? All of them are saying with a common fucking statement that the Habs' future is clear, is bright. That's I haven't heard that or read that in like my life of being a Habs fan. Everybody always shits on the Habs because the Habs never had, you know, they were never in the position of drafting, you know, well or whatever, or they had managerial issues and this is bullshit. But within the last 2 years, it's, you can really see that there's something happening. You know, there's chemistry happening. There's physics that's coming together, and the kids that are coming up, it's like, even our prospects are dominating in their respective leagues. They weren't picks, but they're doing well. They're developing well. So maybe they saw something special in these people. Finally, with the right management staff, something's going to come together.
Wasn't the Rockets not making playoffs, and now they're in?
The Rockets not making the playoffs. It was because of the injuries, first of all, and that, and then they're all playing in the Habs. Yeah. So that's the issue with the Rockets. But yeah, they're a strong team, and if you see their chemistries and Dobes. I don't know if you want to talk about that now or you want to talk about Jacob Dobbs. That goalie, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at 20 minutes of highlight videos during lunch, and it looked as if, I swear to God. And
during work or?
Don't call me crazy. During work. Don't call me crazy. But did you see how he moves and how he looks in the net?
He's very.
Who does that remind you of?
He's very good technical abilities. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go as far as saying Carey Price. Like,
it does, and I'm not the only one who says this. But I'm not saying he's going to be as good. He's not a general Shigoli, but he could have potential. What if he develops all of a sudden? He meets his right coach. He plays with Marty and builds his confidence to a certain extent where he flourishes. There you go. And if we have a Montembeau and Dobbs, Jesus Christ, two young goalies for the next 15 years, that's fucking amazing.
So what does that mean for Jake Allen, though?
Well, he's going to retire soon enough.
He's still got a few years left in him.
How old is he? He's 34?
30, good question.
That's the number he wears.
I think it is a number. Okay. Watching his age.
Okay, question for you, Sam, Chris. Mm-hmm. Nazuk. Mm-hmm. Jake Allen, you think he still has a bit more juice to win a cup again?
No.
As a backup goalie.
He never had juice. As a backup goalie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Considering that we're not looking at contending in a year or two or three or whatever, right? And you have Dobbs in the back and you have a Montembeau who could be our starting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Allen would be a better fit in a team that needs a good backup goalie in case for a playoff run? In case
there's
a top one goal. So then
that was part of the there were rumors going around before the deadline that maybe a team might need him. It's just he's got 2-3 years left, so it depends what the team
could afford. Sam,
I think for now, but I think eventually, yeah, maybe.
I think next year is a big year for Jake Allen.
It's gonna be a big year for Montembeau too. It's just the thing is that like, can both these goalies split duties, play 30-40 games?
30-40 games.
I don't think Allen could. I think Montembeau could, but I don't think Allen could.
No.
So maybe if Allen accepts that, I'll be the backup to Montembeau instead of both of them being fringe starters. I don't know. Allen, but
I think the second season or the second half of the season, Sammy, how it shows how Allen can't endure that much.
He doesn't.
He's not playing as well as he did in the first half.
But that's his
issue. Even the few years, even with Price,
that's the reason why he was never able to be a permanent number one goaltender on the team.
Yeah.
He's a great. He could be considered one of the best backup goalies in the league, but he's not a number one. I'm sorry to say, and I like the guy. I really do. There's times he makes these saves, and then there's times where it's like he can't stop a beach ball. That's the story of Jake Allen's career. We said this many times. But yes, I do think one day they're gonna trade him at a deadline to a team that just needs that backup goalie
next year
to help them in case something happens to the goalie.
You have to do it now or next year.
I think he's gonna have a good year.
I think so. I think Edmondson's gonna be another one that goes in the offseason, maybe. Mm-hmm. Because Mike Matheson,
off-season,
Mike Matheson just showed that, he's...
Stop, dude, he's incredible.
We talk about Caden Gooley, but like Mike Matheson right now, it's his show on defense.
Yeah. You know how many points he has for the amount of games he played?
It's amazing.
It's retarded. In a full season, he's like a 70-point defenseman. It's like...
Yeah.
That's fucking retarded.
And to think this guy played in the shadows of a guy like Chris Letang in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but what did Chris Letang say in the summer when the team told him that they would be going to Kansas? He says, we just lost a good team. I mean, a good player. A good
teammate. Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And
I'm glad he's a Montrealer too. Like, oh fuck, he really likes playing here. It shows.
It's personal to him.
Yeah,
it's
he really beyond, likes. It. He's happy. His family's back.
Oh my god, like this, you know, it means the world really to him to play for the Canadians. Chris, go, Anton. Then I'll
ask the question because it's off topic. You'll talk about later. But go, Chris.
Well, I know Chris wants to talk about Slafkovský and Jack guys. They had their mini press conference.
Okay, so before we get there, question fast. Mm-hmm. What is the scenario for Florida to not make playoffs?
Or they have to lose tonight. They got to lose, and the Islanders got to win. Oh,
yeah. So for the first time ever, I'm going for the Leafs, and they're winning 1-0 in the third period. Go, Chris.
First time ever.
Yeah, last time I rooted for the Leafs to win against Florida, they lost with a minute left, those idiots.
Yeah, well, they're winning right now. Chris, go.
Yeah, I know.
Well, look, some of you might have seen the interviews that they had today. Slafkovský's back on the ice for the first time since his injury. I thought there were two very, very telling interviews that took place today. So starting with Slafkovský, I think the thing that stood out to me the very most, still is humble, still making his little jokes, happy to see. But first and foremost, he said up in the press box, there's been a lot of effort and a lot of concentration on, let's say, how he could be playing the game, monitoring other players from other teams. And the name that he was hesitant to mention it, but he said, the guys that they're asking me to model my game after is Matthew Tkachuk, just based off of my size. And what we think, he said there were about five players, but one of the players that was mentioned that they said, we think you can fit this type of mold. They're giving him Matthew Tkachuk highlights to watch over and look over. Right. So that was a big time wow moment in that press conference. He's evidently talking about using his size a lot more. And he said, he goes like, I have the size, I got some skill, I think I could score some goals, but he goes like, I really have to start putting everything together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, just love seeing the way that this kid is humble. And on Jack Eye's side, and then I'm going to do a comment that like ties into both of them, but on Jack Eye's side, they were saying, well, is this a first time injury to your shoulder? Is this something that, is reoccurring? No. So he was very comfortable saying, look, I've had maybe some wrist sprains and stuff like that. Obviously, fighter, normal. But as far as the shoulder goes, he said, no, it was just a fluke.
Yeah.
What ended up happening? He said, I should be back to normal. But he did mention what we mentioned, picking your spots. He says, exactly. I have to do a better job picking my spots.
Yeah.
And talking in a similar light to what Slafkovský was saying, a lot of video work being done with the players where you're saying, you know, I've had a lot of opportunities and chances to watch Matheson play and Edmondson play. And he goes, just the type of player I am. He says, I would just kind of charge at players coming down the ice like a bull. And maybe that was not the best thing. And he literally broke it down. They asked him a technical question and they said, without getting too geeky about it or nerdy about it, can you explain maybe some of those technicalities? And he went on to say, you know, just the way I place my stick on the ice, just the way the vets place their stick on the ice, you're forcing a player to take a certain trajectory that will lead to a favorable outcome. And he says, these are not things that I'm doing. And just to put both together, I'll end it on, especially Jack Eye, he said, Marty is doing something special. And he said, Roby, like Stefan Robida, he said, they're doing something special. I know they don't have too much experience as coaches, but they said what these guys are bringing to the table has not been seen, has not been heard. And I think he even alluded to the fact that, he's a young guy, but it seems as though that's for everybody. That's for guys who have been in the league for a long time. And they truly just a testament to the coaching staff. Again, it's so great to hear that this was not a wasted opportunity. While these guys were off the ice, they were nitpicking at little points, and these guys had a great opportunity to do all sorts of development in that regard. So I know there was a lot to be said, but those interviews were very, very, very interesting points that came out of today, the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep. And that's key too. And especially, and I think that's a sign of maturity. Not just as like a young person, but as a player too for the league. And this is why I think keeping a guy around, having a guy like Matheson to do that. And as much as I love Joel Edmondson, I think it's like he's kind of got to go to make room for these guys. No. But this is why I think having a guy like David Savard around for just one more season is important. Is important. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have a coach like Robida to show these kids what to do, like video and during practice. But you kind of need that experienced veteran leadership during the game. And this is where I think David Savard comes in. This is where I think he can provide that. And you could, and you saw it almost up until Caden Gooley got it badly injured. You saw how much he was a bit of a mentor towards Caden Gooley. Having a guy like David Savard, I don't care what the fuck Joey says. I understand where Joey's coming from when it comes to David Savard. But David Savard this year was a rock.
He didn't have a bad year.
He didn't have a bad year at all. Like, if you manage your expectations with some of these players and know what their roles are, you won't be disappointed. This season, David Savard was not the same David Savard as last season.
No, crazy. I don't know if I should backtrack of what I said earlier, man. Like, here I was saying, what a great season, bright future. But we ended the season by saying Montabon and Savard were solid. Wow. Never thought we would say those two things.
No, but
it's either we had a really bad season for them to shine, or they're actually good.
But the thing is, they're
I'm just joking. But
no, yeah. but it's true. But the reason why is because they literally compared to the season they had last year to this year, it's night and day for both those guys.
For both, yeah.
Montembeau last season, we were all scared every time we're like, oh my God, he's going in net. We're gonna get destroyed this season.
Joey was happy,
yeah, for sure, and in a sense, I was too for tanking purposes. But this season, not once did I like. Maybe at the beginning of the season, like okay, let's see Montembeau. Then you realize, my God, like he's solid. He probably has one of the most saves amongst the NHL goaltenders this year, and not once were any of us like, oh no, it's Montembeau in net. If anything, it was Jake Allen that was like, ah, fuck, okay. Commander Tanker Allen is in net now. There's got to be at least one whipping boy in every position. Amongst the forwards, it's Joel Armia. On goalie, it's Jake Allen. And on defense, I don't think I can't think of anybody right now. But, like, Jeff Petrie's gone, so they have to find somebody else.
You know what? I want to put the goaltending position aside, and I do want to go back to just a general comment about coaching. Just so that I don't forget or don't skip over any players, just want to name a few names and just do like a quick season recap in a certain sense. Nick Suzuki, career high in points. Kirby Dach took immense steps forward to really becoming one of the dominant and important players on the team. Caulfield was in line for a high 40, maybe even low 50 goal season. Matheson comes from Pittsburgh, dealt with a handful of injuries and problems, but what the hell has he been doing in the last 15 games? Insane. Josh Anderson, season's over, played 69 games, but still a 20-goal scorer. Dvorak was even surprising at the beginning of the season. David Savard, surprised. A Gooley, surprise. Gurianov comes here, starts scoring goals. Sean Monahan, we're like, what the hell? This guy needs to be resigned. Jordan Harris, great season. Kovacevic, quiet but steady, solid
effective
season.
Yep. Yep.
Belzil, we're ripping on him all the time last season. This guy is up for the Masters. And he
deserves it. Yeah.
Then we spoke about Jack Eye. Edmondson, unfortunate year with injury. Slafkovský came in, he did all right, maybe some adaptation, but how many names that I just list off that either had maybe career best years or took leaps and bounds forward? It was just like Anthony said before, this was a fantastic year in so many different ways, and on a performance and individual performance level, there were at least two-thirds of the team right there that I listed that took major steps forward. It was incredible.
So
well said.
Before we, I want to talk about Nick Suzuki, but before we get there, like we mentioned the Laval Rocket, and I, what I want to like, they're actually they're playing live right now, and they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. They're up 1-0. Who scores the goal? His first game back with the Laval Rocket, Raphael Harvey Pinard.
Fucking great.
So great. He gets sent back down. Jesse Lolan got sent back down. Corey Schooneman got sent back down. And Katie Primo is sent back down. And I think guys like Raphael Harvey Pinard and Jesse Lolan, even throw in Alex Belzil there, even though he can't go back to Laval. I think those three prove that it's okay to spend a couple of seasons in the minors. It's okay to not be rushed to the NHL. Look at, yes, I think Jesse Lone is one of them. And look, he just, speaking of Jesse Lone, he just scored right now. It's 2-0 Laval Rockets on a 5-on-3. Those guys are prime examples that a couple of seasons in the minors, get some seasoning done, and you could, and they showed that they're ready for the NHL. Does it help that they're fighting for contracts? I think so. They're both restricted free agents. Of course, it helps. They're basically fighting for their jobs, for their lives, in a sense. But they've just, but season after season in Laval, they just keep getting better and better. When they get, and they're like the best players on the team. They deserved their spots with the Canadiens this season. They took full advantage of their opportunities because of these injuries.
Being honest, Pinard is coming back to the Habs next season. I think this is a guy who's making the roster right away.
He's definitely getting a contract. Now the thing is, I think he gets a third line spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, training camp is gonna be next year is gonna be very interesting because there's gonna be a lot of spots fight. Like a lot of people are gonna be fighting for.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Jesse Lolan, what happens to him? Do you think he gets a spot from the very beginning?
I don't think so.
I think he's your number one call up, to be honest. And you want to know who? I think you know who's falling out of grace, unfortunately, more due to injury than anything. I just don't see Jake Evans fitting on this team the more that we go forward.
I think that hit.
I like Jake Evans a lot.
2 years ago, changed him. I liked him too, but he declined after that hit.
Yeah, but he's also, he was meant to be a fourth line player. Like, are we expecting too much from him?
No, but he doesn't have that spark that he had 2 years ago.
It could be that concussion really messed him up. That's for sure. But I expect him just to play well defensively, and he has done the job more or less.
Yes, but he's there half the time. That's my biggest issue with the guy. He's been so injury prone, and he's been in and out of the lineups. I don't want to factor a guy in that I can only depend on 50% of the time. That's it.
Yeah, I know, but it showed this year that almost half the team is injury prone. That could be another topic, but
Jake Evans, come on, let's be honest. It's been a reoccurring thing year after year.
Well, I think the remainder of his contract we're going to see where, if he's going to stay or if he's going to go.
I feel bad for the kid, but yeah.
Yeah, I do too because I really liked him.
Yeah,
but maybe to my comment of where that spark was gone, maybe Chris, you just answered it. He's been on and off all season, so maybe that spark was there when he was there pretty much the whole duration of the season. We saw him play often, and he had the momentum being built. Now, when you're on and off, it's hard to see.
Yeah,
your progression when you're. You're starting strong and you drop because of injury and then you come back up. So maybe that's why I'm saying the spark is gone because he's not playing as often.
He's not consistent.
What do you think happens to Alex Belzil, the Bill Masterton?
I don't know, man.
Nominee.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think there could be more talented players who are going to take his place.
Is his contract up officially?
His contract is up as well. Yep.
I personally think there might be one or two clubs in the NHL which might give him an offer that the Canadiens are not necessarily interested in giving him.
Is it trade bait or is only signings?
No.
He's going to walk.
He's a UFA.
He's going to walk, yeah. He's old. Good for him. But that's the thing. I could see a team like, it sounds ridiculous, but I could see a team like Anaheim or San Jose or one of these lesser known teams, even a place like Dallas, just being like, okay, we want a support player. You're reliable. We like you. We're not going to be depending on you. Come on in for $1 million.
Yeah, but he's not going to make the lineup. He's not going to make the lineup on those teams. Well, like that's
they suck.
Yeah, I get that, but okay, they signed for what, 1 year, two max?
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be a long period of time, but I just think he is gonna get, especially with the Masterton. I think teams might give him a shot.
Well, I think the Canadians could sign him, but it's just like you're gonna go back to Laval. You're gonna be the captain again. You're gonna mentor the new kids. Because think about it, like, do you guys realize like the amount of prospect signings in one season? We've never seen this before.
Yeah,
Sean Farrell, Jaden Struble that we haven't talked about, and now Jakub Dobish, however you pronounce
it. Dobis.
Dobis.
After that, guess who's coming? There's at least two of them that are coming. I'm going to get to them later on. There's Riley Kinney that's coming, and then there's Joshua Roy that's coming.
Yeah, like man. Such good fucking kids.
But this is what scares me, because it could be good and bad. Mm-hmm. But this is where I see. Again, like, it depends the vision
like
where
the rushing.
No, not rushing. No. But it all depends on. Again, I think we're all. How do I say it? We don't know where the management is heading with that whole surprise last year with the Kirby Doc trade, right? We all got it was all shocked to the world, right? But now we're feeling that this could happen again because management has it in them to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And now with all these players shining, all these players fucking showing what they're capable of doing, we have a lot of assets. Not enough to make the NHL or not enough room for this team, especially we have cap space issues. Now you have all these players that are fucking shining. Yeah. Like you said it, Sam, who do we put? Who's going to make the team? Who this? Who that? So many questions. And this is going to be for a really long time that. So with all these players that have so much potential and already show the world what they're capable of doing, this is smart management or it could be stupid management. But the smart management could be get rid of them now at their not prime, but, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the management is able. I have a feeling that we will get rid of one or two assets at the draft or in July. To get us, how do you say it? The more established player. Sorry.
I agree. If the right opportunity goes to Kent, he's not going to push it.
But he said that.
I don't think he's going to go after trading assets. But if a guy comes in, look, we're going to give you a top six player for somebody like who you want to fucking. I don't know, Pinard, or I'm just saying names, like, like, and a second round pick or whatever. Like, if it's not a player that we don't have a need, he's not going to do it, I think. Like,
no, and we
needed a Kirby Doc, right? We were so like he had to dig into his depth, his D, and traded that to get a center, second line center.
I'm just saying, right now we have, and this is a good problem to have and a bad problem to have. But when's the last time Sam or anybody here? Did you feel like we have so much potential coming up? You know, some teams have that one or two, three. We have. You just said
we weren't alive.
The first time in a long time.
We have good players on the ice right now playing for us: Suzuki, Caulfield, you know, Slavsky, all these guys. And then you have all these young players that Gouley, fucking Kinney, fucking Harris, all these guys, and we have a list. They're not going to all make this team. They're not all going to make this team unless we have all kinds of injuries. So we have good depth. But yeah, sometimes
that's important. You need that.
That. You need that. But sometimes if we have an opportunity to get an established fucking top six player right now, like what we do with Doc, again, could be a smart or a bad decision. You don't know. It depends. It's a risk to take.
Go, Chris.
Don't forget, we're very likely going to be drafting top five. And whoever's coming in top five is likely going to be a lot more talented than at least three quarters, if not 80% of whoever's on the team right now. Generational draft, again, going on right here. So you got to factor that in. But you want to know what's so funny? I think that, you know, I'm going to make maybe a little bit of a lesser bold prediction on this matter. I think what needs to end up happening more than anything, for the first time, I found that Marc Bergevin got caught up with a lot of smaller contracts, a lot of little 1 million, 2 million, 1 million, 2 million Armia type contracts. I think what Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton are going to have to focus on are letting more of those contracts go. And again, I think a lot of them are just going to be walking and not getting re-signed or getting traded, especially traded. I think the one guy, and I'm going to say this, and I know, again, it's not going back to hate. It's not going back to that. I was there against the five against the Detroit Red Wings the other night. I got to see Gallagher. I was four rows from the ice. You literally get to see the personal, the facial expressions, and the guys lining up for the faceoff. I was right next to the faceoff dot. I'm sorry to say this, but I really find that Gallagher does not fit in the system. And I'm going to say it like this. I can see, and I'm just going to throw out a name, and that's not who I'm going for, but I can see Kent Hughes trying to move a contract, not the player, trying to move a contract like Gallagher's out to go get a player that's overpaid on another team. Like, I'm throwing out this name. Don't lose your shit. Milan Lucic, horrible contract type player that might have some upside with a guy like Martin Saint-Louis. I'm not saying, I just said Lucic because that's the first bad contract that came to mind. But I just want to say there are plenty of bad contracts in the league that I think the trade that you're talking about, I see it more as an opportunity. This offseason is going to be very important to be making room for all those guys that you're mentioning, Anthony. We're going to have to start making the room, and the bad contracts are going to have to be moved out. They're going to come at a cost. We're likely going to have to take on a bad contract. But hopefully, and I'm thinking, they're going to be looking for players around the league with bad contracts that might have some upside because they're playing for a shitty coach. They're not playing in a market that they like. They're not doing something.
I would rather have a shitty Lucic contract than a Gallagher shitty contract.
Why?
I don't know, guys. I
get what you're saying. It doesn't have to be Lucic, but I'm just saying that has right now. Gallagher's done, guys. I'm sorry, he's done.
Yeah,
like put him on LTIR next year. That's what's gonna happen. So either you put him in LTIR, or like Chris said, get a player who still has a bit of juice with a better system, and you just do an exchange, and then Gallagher goes on LTR with fucking Calgary, Edmonton, or wherever you want, and we have a player who still has some juice.
Sean Monahan, that's one example. Bad contract, guys playing on the fourth line, guys barely cracking the lineup, like very, very much not happy in Calgary. I know it came, but that was the cost. It was the first round pick, and it was Sean Monahan's contract because it was so bad. And that's the type of who flourished with him.
It was bad because of his injuries. They just, if he was healthy, that would have been a great contract. I think we could all agree to that. We saw what he could play or how he can play on half a body.
He was still playing on the third or fourth line in Calgary. And that's what I'm trying to say. There are these players that have not so great contracts, but I think there's more juice to be squeezed out of them, simply put. And they're unrecognized, or they're just not in a proper system.
I don't know. I just think GMs now got to be fucking smarter with these contracts now. Like it's getting crazy because a lot of these players and a lot of these eight. And here's the thing, I don't think Kent Hughes is the type of GM that could get handcuffed because he knows what it's like to be an agent. Once again. And if you want Lucic, he's a free agent at the end of the season, Chris. I'm just saying.
I know. I just, like I said, I know his contract is about $6 million. I thought it was coming to an end, but that was the first bad contract that came to mind. So, I don't know. Like, this is going to sound stupid, and you're never going to be able to trade Gallagher for him ever, ever, ever. But Tyler Seguin has one of the worst contracts in the league. One of the worst. They hate him. They fucking shit on him left, right, and center in Dallas. That's the type of player that if you can make some sort of deal to, let's say Seguin has 3 years at $9 million, but you have Gallagher like fucking 5 years left at $6 million. Well, you just got rid of 2 years of a bad contract.
How the fuck is Tyler Seguin 31 years old and he has four more years at 9.85? Jesus.
Four more years? Well, no, not counting this year.
Not counting this year. No, this year his total salary is $13 million.
Gesù Cristo, bono mio.
Then it drops next year to 8.45 total, not cap it, total. Then 8 years, then 8 million, then 7.1, then 6.75. That's insane.
Because I have a stupid question, sorry, and maybe shouldn't be asking this question live, but whatever, I'm no shame. If Florida makes the playoffs, we don't get that pick, or it just falls?
No, we get that pick. It just drops. It just because once you make
the lottery,
it's already out of the lottery now for the first overall. So whatever, but
just better position.
If you want, yeah, exactly. You kind of want the top 16 as best as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so looks like we're gonna. So Islanders lost in regulation. Yeah. Well, there's like 6 minutes left, so. Basically, yeah, Florida needs to win this game, and it's 1-1 with a minute left going to overtime.
Fuck you, Toronto. I told you, you know what? Can't cheer for this fucking team. The one time you want to cheer for fucking hell.
But Pittsburgh's also in the run for all of this, and they have to play Columbus, and they have to play Chicago.
Florida just needs to win tonight right now. If they win right now in overtime or regulation, they make it, they clinch it right away.
Fucking Leafs.
Because Islanders lost in regulation. If Islanders would have won, shit, what a stupid goal that went in. That's
watch them come back with 8 minutes left.
Man, even God damn it. Well, look, anyways, you still got two picks in the first round, and they're saying the draft this year is a lot deeper than they initially thought. Like even the top 20, even the top 25 picks are going to be strong. So. We're not in a bad position. So I want to get to Nick Suzuki. He reached a career high of 62 points. He's at 64 right now. You know what? For me, the debate is done. He is our number one center. This guy, he's our lesser Patrice Bergeron, but he's probably going to be even better than a guy like Ryan O'Reilly was.
And I think he would have gotten more points if Caulfield wasn't injured.
Can you imagine? Oh, no. You know the memes of Pablo Escobar's show Narcos, where he's like alone at the dinner table, alone at the park, alone at the swim pool. That's literally Nick Suzuki this season with all of his fucking line mates getting injured.
Imagine.
Can you imagine? No, seriously. Let's play a game here. How many points do you think Suzuki would finish if Caulfield and if he was still playing with Caulfield and Doc?
He's 75 to 85?
Yeah. I say 78.
Okay.
No, I think Suzuki and Caulfield would have both hit the 30 goal mark and 80 point mark this season. And we said at the beginning of the year that we would have had 330 goal scorers. Okay. We would have had, I know Joey, you're right. Fuck you. But the injuries is what caused it. Because if you look at the standings right now of goal scorers, take out the Anderson, and I know it's part of the game, Joey. I know he's saying that right now. It's part of the game, for sure. But anyways, take out the injuries, we would have got 330 goal scorers. And to answer your question, Sam, I think Suzuki would have hit 80 points with Caulfield on lineup.
Jeez.
He hit 62. When did Caulfield get injured? Halfway mark?
January, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
62 points. At 4 months with Suzuki and Caulfield,
he would have definitely been close. Yeah.
That's
18
points more in 4 months with a player that would have fed him some points. Guaranteed hitting 80. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, just to give you some insight on that, what you're saying, Suzuki, especially when Caulfield was around, and I know like he got that bump. He took that fucking illegal hit that went uncalled.
Well, yeah, against Calgary.
Yeah, but he got that fucking hit. He got injured. I think it was from that early on in the season. But before Caulfield was maybe, iffy, Suzuki was more than a point per game player. More than a point per game fucking player. So I agree with what you're saying. Big time.
So
He's at 24 goals right now, 64 points.
Yeah.
Do you actually think he would have hit the 30 goal mark?
Who, Suzuki?
Yeah.
24 goals?
That's 24 goals right now.
And he didn't have Suzuki in four months.
He could have gotten six goals. Yeah.
Would have got six more goals from Suzuki, from Caulfield. Yeah. Hands down.
Even if Kirby Doc was around for a little bit longer, just a few more passes on the power play, this, that, the other. Those three were playing magical hockey. I remember how fun it was to be doing episodes and discussing it afterwards, because those guys were literally performing magic on ice.
I just want to see. Like,
the medical staff needs to be better. Do better.
Oh, come on. How about we stop having players that are injury prone and stop lying about the medical conditions?
Honestly, Sammy, and this is funny. Okay. This weekend at family events, people that don't even know of hockey said that exact same issue. That what's wrong with their medical staff? Dude, if somebody that doesn't follow hockey says that, thinks that, it's logical. It means there has to be a fundamental issue that needs to be addressed, like their coaching was addressed.
It's because they're looking at Facebook and Twitter. That's why they're repeating what other fucking people are saying.
But it's important. Listen, if you're trying to build a world-class organization, that's part of the puzzle, dude.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I'm just saying, when you have a guy like Gallagher that's injury prone, Monahan is injury prone, Paul Byron is telling these guys
to go on the ice and get re-injured after two fucking games?
The players are there saying, "Yeah, I'm fine." The players are there, I'm fine. Okay. You know what I mean? At one point, the medical staff's gonna be like, "Okay, we'll test you this. Oh, you're okay. All right."
But I'm sure they're gonna revamp something, dude. Like,
I think so too, though.
Yeah.
It's going to fall on the controversial side, but do you not think that they were encouraged not to play?
Okay.
Do you not think?
Oh my God. Okay. I want to say that. Do you not think that
they made every excuse in the fucking book to have longer injuries than they actually were?
Thank you, Chris. I don't want to say, because I'm the one that always
go for
the conspiracy guy.
So you're saying that they know they're injured, but yeah, go play so you can get injured some more, and then we can lose.
No, it's a generational draft. Caulfield, you know what? Take your time, come back next season. Kirby Doc, you got a little bump in the back.
The other way around. No, not play injured and get injured more.
Okay, I'm like, that's pretty fucking dark.
No, I agree.
I'm saying sit out.
Sit out longer, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We have there's a lot of controversial moments this season, right? With Kent Hughes saying one thing and Marty.
And
Marty saying, winning mindset and I want to win and blah, 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 blah. And he had like that back and forth. I didn't want to say this because, conspiracy Anthony, but I actually agree with you, Chris. Maybe there was certain players, they said, you know what? Get healthier, stay sitting down, because we need more of an excuse to lose, right? Because if you would have had Caulfield in scoring all these points, it's hard to justify a loss, right? Mm. Again, we'll never know the truth, but I think some of these players were told to sit down longer just to justify these losses. And guys, bottom five, we need to lose the next two games or Arizona needs to win, but we're going to hit the bottom five.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, could it also be, it's like, look, you could play now, but if you aggravate this injury, it could jeopardize your career one way or another. So it's probably better off for not just for the team, but for yourself, as a player, as one of our building blocks of this team. Like, we need you for the long term here. Fine, just sit out. Go get it. Because they were saying Caulfield could have played without the surgery. But if he hurts it again, it could screw him up. So why take that risk in a losing season?
But that's exactly.
I think it's both.
It's a mix of both.
The injuries. I genuinely think that the injuries are real, but it's the same thing. It's like when the doctor says, no, you should be healed within 3 weeks, versus no, you should take 2 months off. Like, take your time, recuperate. We're gonna give you extra treatment. It's stuff like, I hate to say it, but in sports, look. I'll throw something out the top of my head. You have Mark Stone, which just came back from injury magically a few games before the playoffs.
Kucherov story.
Kucherov, yeah.
It's exactly that's what I was saying. Like, he pulled a Kucherov with what he's doing, and to a certain degree, there is. I don't want to say there's cheating with a certain amount of grace in sports, and it crosses the mind that maybe legal. The Montreal Canadiens did it for this, for the reason of the draft and the level of the players that are going to be eligible for the draft. If I'm the Montreal Canadiens, I want to turn the organization around. You turn to your players and you explain to them, look, in the long run, this is going to benefit us significantly. And when you're back on the ice, you're going to be 120%. We're going to make sure of that. I think they have easier times. They're professional athletes. They want to play. They want to be there. But what the hell are they going to go play for? Like, what's the purpose of playing if it's going to be a season that's going to be a write-off anyways? Take your time. Give us a better opportunity at fucking getting a better draft pick. And funny enough, the reason why it comes to mind more than anything is look at the caliber of players. All of our best players, other than Suzuki, have been injured this season. Every single one of them. And we're talking about guys like Belzil, and we're talking about guys that are fucking shining out of nowhere. Yeah, because every single one of the fucking best players is gone magically.
Yeah, but it's that's part of the – fuck, am I repeating Joey? That's part of the game. Yeah, I get it. I get it, guys. It's just
these are things we'll never know, but these are valid assumptions, no, right?
It's not just that too. Like, like for Caulfield to, I'm gonna use Caulfield for example, that he's up for a new contract. For him to be like, yeah, you know what? Okay, I'll get the surgery. I'll sit out the rest. It's because they know he's gonna get paid. He knows he's gonna get paid. But it's not like that for all these other players, though. So that's where I see it's like, okay, it's some players. It's like, yeah. Now that I think about it, it's like, yeah. Well, Doc is pretty much secured. Caulfield's secured. Slafkovský is a rookie, he's just a rookie. So is Gouley. So is Jack Eye. Yeah. Okay. All right. I kind of see the point. Yeah. But
okay, the joy is coming out of you. The joy is getting out. That's good.
Oh man, it's I just pray and hope they can't go lower than seventh. They can't go higher than five, but they can't go lower than seventh. So they're gonna be so far theoretically picking between five and seven. If they win the lottery, oh my god, you know what's gonna happen. Last segment, listen. For the Habs fans that are paying attention, and also just a bit of breaking news, nothing too crazy, but Laval won 4-0, so that's excellent for their playoff run. You just got to hope that I think Cleveland in the minors, they have to lose too, but that I think the Cleveland Monsters, yeah, they need to lose. Great win for Laval. Caden Primo gets a shutout. Like, he's one player I don't understand. I don't fucking understand how. We're gonna get to him in another episode, but pay attention, guys. In the Quebec Major Junior, you have Joshua Roy and Riley Kidney. They're not up against each other, but they're in the semis. No, they're not in the semis. Sorry, they passed the first round. They're in the second round. In the OHL, you have Logan Mailloux facing Philip Machar. So
great! I'm gonna smack him around.
I can't believe the Kitchener Rangers, Philip Machar's team, they swept.
Toronto just fucking scored with 21 seconds left in overtime. Sorry.
No way! Really?
Yeah.
Oh baby! Oh my god! Hold on a sec. Okay, here.
21 seconds left.
We're going to leave the CHL and, oh, yeah, but in overtime.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They had to, Florida had to win in overtime or regulation to make the playoffs. So now they got a point. So they still have a chance. The next game, they got to get a point, basically.
Yeah, but fucking Pittsburgh's got to fucking do something, man. Who are they playing against?
Pittsburgh's playing Chicago, and they're playing Columbus. Tomorrow. And yeah, Columbus, okay. For all their right, last game. So those are two basically guaranteed wins for Pittsburgh. New York Islanders are playing us. That's pretty much a guaranteed win.
They need to win. They need to win. Islanders. Anyways,
sorry about that. Yeah, go back. That's fine.
Anyways, the Kitchener. I can't believe Kitchener swept Windsor, fucking Shane Wright's team. That's kind of funny in a sense, we'll but yeah, you got in the OHL, you got at least in the Western Conference, you got Logan Mailloux, Philip facing Mastar. Then you have Owen Beck is moving on, and then you also have Vincent Rohr with the Ottawa 67. So this is and you know, we talk about prospect development. This is it. Like it's playoffs like this that help our prospects develop and grow. This is what Arbor Jacki did last season. This is what Caden Gooley did last season in the WHL. So I'm hoping that, you know, it's too bad when I think about the Quebec Major Juniors that it's going to come down to, chances are it's going to come down to between Joshua Roy and Riley Kidney, because both Sherbrooke and Gatineau are the strongest teams in the Quebec Major Junior. Only one of them is going to have to go. But in the Ontario Hockey League, like it's anybody's game here, because Ottawa 67 is strong. The Peterborough Petes are strong. The London Knights are freaking strong too. So, and then you have Jared Davidson, who we might see with the Laval Rockets next season. He's with the Seattle Thunderbirds in the Western Hockey League. And this guy, apparently, he's like a diamond in the rough. I hope at the end of the season, the Canadiens sign him. Or at least they sign him 1 year, a professional contract to the Laval Rockets. And then kind of like what Raphael Harvey-Pinard did, I kind of hope he does 1 year in Laval. Or even Xavier Simoneau that they signed to this year. 1 year in Laval, it shows you could play pro hockey. Okay, we'll sign you to an entry level contract. But I actually plan, guys, if ever where you guys are interested, I plan on going see maybe Joshua Roy. If Joshua Roy faces Riley Kidney, I might go to Gatineau to watch a game.
Let's do it.
If ever you're interested.
Curfew Boys road trip. Let's do it.
Road trip to Gatineau, then we go to the Gatineau casino and we fucking bet the five on red or whatever the rule is. I don't go to the casino that often, but okay, yeah. So yeah, back to the good news. Okay, looks like Toronto, fucking Toronto.
So if Florida doesn't make the playoffs, then we're gonna get their top. They're gonna be bottom 10. They're getting a top 10 pick.
No. They're depends where they finish.
16th.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 15-16th overall.
But it's the lottery.
They're not in the lottery.
They can move up by 10. They can move up by 10, technically, can't they?
They can, yes.
The lowest will be, what, a 7th? That's if they win. 8th round? I mean,
I think it's if they win the second lottery, I think. Hold on a sec.
I thought it was just you can move up a maximum of 10 spots.
Yeah, they're in 15th place right now.
Yeah, so 15th overall pick around. That's what it's going to be more or less. Which is still good.
Imagine if it's like a year like when we drafted McDonough and then Pacioretty.
No, they're out of the lottery odds.
Okay, so then, guys, I mean, Islanders lost, and Florida's at 92 points. Technically, Florida just 1 point to win to clinch, or Islanders lose their last game of the season.
Yeah,
yep.
That point helps.
Islanders beat if their last game of the season is Wednesday against us, which they're gonna come at us
flying out of the gate,
firing on all cylinders. And Pittsburgh again. Pittsburgh has to beat Chicago and Columbus, which are bottom dwelling teams. So. If you take those two, and who's the – my only question is, I guess, who are the Florida Panthers playing for their last game? I think it must be Thursday.
Hurricanes. They already clinched, so they're probably going to bench their players.
I don't know. If the Hurricanes just perform as they can, the odds are very much in the favor of the New York Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. Honestly, Florida Panthers had to get it done tonight. They might have shot the bed with that alone.
Well, Florida just needs a point or Islanders to lose. So who's Islanders playing last?
Listen.
Montreal,
yeah.
Yep. Oh my god. That's Wednesday's game. That's gonna be Wednesday's tilt. Oh man. And again, I think Marty's gonna try to have his guys spoil their fun. That's the type of coach that he is.
I mean, they're out of the lottery, so it doesn't make a difference for a Habs pick.
No, but again, it's just so they don't drop. Like if they could stay top 16, top 15, that to me, I'm more than happy with. That's what I want. All right,
we'll find out
Wednesday night against the Islanders. Thursday night, final game of the season. This is so weird against the Boston Bruins at the Bell Center.
fucking take out Pasternak's fucking knee or something like that.
Why? Cool. I like Pasternak. No, take out Marsha. Go after him. Fucking break.
Why limit ourselves to one player when we can push for the whole team?
I like Pasternak. I actually like Pasternak. He's just wearing the wrong jersey.
Yeah, okay. Well, fair enough.
Anything else? If Pittsburgh makes it, like sneaks into the playoffs, there'll be that LA.
You think? Oh my god! I thought we were gonna
the underdog.
You think they're gonna beat the Boston Bruins?
You always have that one team that just sneaks into the playoffs. Look, LA did it. St. Louis did it.
Montreal.
A lot of teams. Montreal did it. Well, yeah. But anyways, all right. Let's end it before.
We'll end it. But like, I look forward to coming back. Our next episode, it's gonna be like a good end of the year review, and then we're probably gonna do a good playoff prediction. I look forward to that, but until then, everybody, thank you. If you have power and you can listen to us on your Wi-Fi, thanks for tuning in.
Data,
use your data, not too much.
Data.
Follow the Curfew Boys on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. You can hear all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any podcast platforms. If you like watching our videos on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Also, tell your friends about us. If you have other Habs fans in your circle of friends, tell them about the Curfew Boys. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I promise you, you will love what you see with your lights on, hopefully. All right. I think I'm getting too much PTSD from all the fucking power outages in the area. But it's back. We're back. And until next time, gentlemen, thank you all.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.